Father, I come before you now with a short message, but it includes your word, Lord. We pray that at least your word would not return to you void, that it would achieve the purpose for which you had it written and sent out into the world in the first place. So, Lord, I give you this message, and you know the frustration I had trying to compile it. It's only short, Lord, but there was resistance to me doing it. The temptation was to not have a message at all today. But Lord, I just ask you to bless this and help people to hear it with their spiritual ears, with their minds and their hearts open, not to me and not to my teaching, but Lord, to your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this message is called Keep It or Chuck It. One of the things that many people seem to be doing during this extended lockdown period is tidying up. I've heard a lot of people clearing out their garages, their sheds, their roof spaces, etc. And the intention to do this kind of thing has been in the air for months, if not years. It's quite cathartic to have a spring clean and get rid of stuff that has been cluttering up your home for a long time. But sometimes it's very difficult to carry out this task depending on the nature of the person doing the cleaning and the chucking out. But there's a saying that goes like this. It says that if you haven't used something in the last 2 years, then you're unlikely to ever use it. This has been a guideline for many people chucking out clothes and other articles around the house and the garage. The problem is, if you're anything like me, you might be someone who, when faced with skipping something, chucking it out, you become very protective and see the sometimes hidden value in something, the value that maybe perhaps only you can see. Or that it's only in need of a small repair before it can work again and do the job that it once did. Even if it's been lying there broken for ages. In my case, it has to be said, I was brought up to fix things rather than to throw them away. I suppose that translated itself into my job of mending aircraft to keep them flying. And I get a certain amount of deep satisfaction out of repairing things rather than seeing them go into a landfill site. With the added bonus, I guess, being a Yorkshireman, that I probably have saved a few quid too in not having to buy a new one of this, that and the other. Some people see that as false economy. And some may even think that I'm tight or a skinflint or just a Yorkshireman. But I can't easily throw things away that I believe has got some kind of value still left in it. I'm glad to say that I'm not the only one who thinks like that. I know that Jesus has a similar attitude with sinful people. In fact, especially sinful people. As we turn to Luke 5, 29 to 32, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus was sent primarily to recover the lost sheep of Israel, but is interested in anyone and everyone who wants to be put right with God. But first of all, a person needs to realize that they actually need fixing. You don't need fixing if you believe that you're okay and that there's nothing wrong with you. If you think that your own righteousness is enough, that it's sufficient, you're not going to need any help from Jesus, the greatest physician of all time. In Matthew 15:25-28, the woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You've got to understand that you need help and not be too proud to ask for it. During this period of uncertainty that we're going through, people are struggling with all kinds of problems and emotions. Financial problems, psychological or spiritual problems, feelings of uncertainty and insecurity. I've recently heard that many people are turning up to church services that are being held online, being Zoomed or in one format or another. People who wouldn't ordinarily set foot inside a church or a chapel. People who wouldn't ask a church member for help. People who, from the anonymity of using the internet, can in effect reach out and at least inquire as to what is behind all this Christian faith thing. Over the years, I have been a believer in Jesus. I've often arrived at a point where I felt at a loss as to what else I can do to help someone find Christ and salvation. I've prayed, I've witnessed, I've offered practical and financial help on occasion, and yet the person remains broken. I simply can't fix them myself. I might think I know what is wrong with them, but I do not know how to restore them myself. It gets very frustrating on occasion, and I'm often fighting the temptation to just bin them, move on, chuck them in the skip, so to speak. But something stops me abandoning people like that. In Isaiah 42 verses 1 to 8, we read this. "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you. And I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. To open eyes that are blind. To free captives from prison. And to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, or my praise to idols." This is Jesus. He's the one who can restore people. He's the one who never gives up on you. Whether you've been out of work or out of use in the kingdom of God, whether it's that you're broken, that you're damaged, that you're ill, or you've just been ignored, he's still interested in you and cares about you more than anyone else could. He restores souls and gives hope to the sick, the weak, the weary, the lost. He is the restorer of all things. Shouldn't we be glad that he doesn't just chuck us out after being useless for 2 years or more? We might not be able to fix people or lead them into salvation, but as believing Christians, we ought to be able to share how Jesus restored us, how he lifted us out of the miry pit and put us on solid ground, how he saved us from sin and is saving us from sin. We should be able to tell people that he is more than just a spiritual doctor who fixes people or a priest who may offer forgiveness. He has the power to fill you with the Holy Spirit and cause you to be born again. And that is not just being fixed, that is being made brand new. Why would you settle for a patch-up job when you can have a brand new life? And one that is never going to be rejected, thrown away, or separated from God. So whatever else you decide to throw out during this extraordinary trial that we're going through, don't throw out his word. Don't throw away your faith in Jesus, because there is infinite value in him. Amen.